Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 164. In the news, again, I was not on the Masonic Roundtable. My work schedule has been completely crazy, and I've been fielding some questions. People are asking me, what's going on with you and TMR? You're not on the show. Have you had a falling out? And no, not at all, guys. Just work schedule's been crazy. I couldn't be better friends with anybody on the Masonic Roundtable. They're all great guys. Nothing to worry about there. The response to the Masonic Radio Theater has been overwhelmingly amazing. So I have to thank all of you again, and especially the brothers from the Masonic Roundtable and the Midnight Freemasons who lent their voice talents to it. It has been really cool. To the companies out there that are interested in having advertisements for your business, Masonic business specifically, I would ask you to send us an email at advertise@masonicradiotheater.com and we will get those. We can put something together for you, a real old-timey type ad, and we can put it right in the show. And of course, you get a link on the website also under our supporters. So if that interests you, check it out and we will certainly get you in there. Next week, just in a few days, I'm heading down to Springfield, Illinois for the Grand Lodge Sessions, which takes place Friday and Saturday. If you are going to be in Springfield for Grand Lodge Sessions, maybe you're an Illinois Mason, maybe you're not, but if you're going to be down there, if you see me, come say hey. I'd love to chit-chat a little bit, and we can hang out for a while. I'm going to be down there the full 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so hopefully we have a really good turnout. I know Grand Lodge is amazing. I always bring enough money to buy all the little Masonic trinkets and things. I love lapel pins, as all of us do. So the first piece for this week is something that we have covered on the Midnight Freemasons, and it's our most popular post ever, and it involved talking about the proper way to wear a Masonic ring, points in or points out. In the interest of continued debate, I found a paper on MasonicWorld.com, and it's called The Proper Way to Wear a Masonic Ring. This paper was from the Montana Mason, published in May of 1936, and it was on page 15, The Proper Way to Wear a Masonic Ring. The following from Temple Topics, Illinois, is now being quoted with approval by other Masonic papers. Quote, what is the proper way to wear a Masonic ring? Should the points of the compasses be toward or away from the body? If you are hanging the American flag, would you put the stars down? The same holds true for the ring. Usually, it is a gift and has sentimental value for the wearer. It should look right side up to him. Rings are therefore worn with the points of the compasses toward the wearer. End quote. This subject is one on which Grand Lodges have made no regulation and popular opinion is divided. We must therefore reason from analogy. When the emblem of the square and compasses is displayed on a building, pennant, button, watch, charm, etc., universal custom requires the points of the compasses to point downward. When displayed on the altar, they point away from the master. As the master from his station views the compasses from the altar of his lodge, the points are from, not toward him. As the wearer of a compass watch charm views it, the points are down and away from his eyes. In a similar way, he views the emblem on his ring, the points should be down or away from his eyes. The square is the symbol of earthly, the compasses of heavenly perfection. As a combined emblem, the ends of the square point up as the symbol of man's aspirations toward God. The points of the compasses are down to represent heavenly qualities coming down from God to earth. Therefore, it would seem that the proper way to wear a ring would be that is which its symbolism is best expressed. Namely, that in which when the hand is held in its usually position, the points of the compasses are toward the earth and away from the wearer's eyes. Thus, it will be seen that our conclusion does not agree with the Temple Topics. He truly says that in hanging the American flag, we would not put the stars down, but in hanging a compass or a square and compasses, he surely would put the points of the compasses down. The same rule holds when worn as a ring or button or watch charm. Namely, they would be worn the same way with the points down. When so worn, they all serve the same purposes, and by no means the least of these purposes is to announce to the world the proud wearer is a Mason. Iowa Masonic Bulletin. So there you have a quick few paragraphs on it. Again, they started with the points in and we ended on the points out. This particular author feels that he wears his ring with points out. That's a very interesting notions on both sides. But again, it is not a regulated rule how we wear our rings, so it's up to each individual brother to decide for himself how he wants to wear it. Next is another quick topic, and it's called compasses or compass, which is correct, by worshipful brother I.J. Nathan. Now again, this is something that I've always taught was always compasses. However, this is a paper regarding that, so let's get into it. This is a question that has concerned a number of members, but a simple answer cannot be given. There has been a suggestion made that the plural form came into the common use when the mariner's compass was invented. The word compass has been recorded as having been used in the 14th century. Three examples are 1430s, quote, craftily cast in with compass, end quote, 1387, quote, made the first compass, end quote, and in 1391 by Chancerre, who wrote of the, quote, point of my compass, end quote. In 1551, the sentence was recorded, quote, how a pair and compass, end quote. Swift wrote in 1745, quote, to fix one foot of their compass wherever they think fit, end quote. As recently as 1845, Emerson wrote, quote, defined by compass and measuring wand, end quote. Earliest uses of the plural form have been recorded in the 16th century. In 1555, quote, we took our compasses and began to measure the sea coasts, end quote. And an example from 1594, how to make with your compasses a perpendicular line to fall from any point given another right line, end quote. Milton wrote in Paradise Lost in 1667, quote, in his hand he took the golden compasses to circumscribe this universe, end quote. The mariner's compass first appeared in 1515, quote, some the anchor laid, one kept the compass and watched the hourglass, end quote. In 1552, this was recorded, quote, and Skyper can not glide his ship without direction of his compass, end quote. In at least four verses of the Old Testament, compass appears in the singular form, Isaiah 44:13. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, he marketh it with a line, he fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass. Quote, other references are Exodus 27:5, Exodus 38:4, and Proverbs 8:27. Early Masonic rituals do not show any marked preference for either form. Pritchard's Masonry, dissected of 1730, uses the singular four times and the plural once. Three distinct knocks, published in 1760, has the plural form seven times and the singular twice. The Pillars, which appeared in 1762, shows a slight preference for the singular over the plural by 5 to 4. In the United States, some jurisdictions use compass, and there are also Masonic clubs known as Square and Compass Clubs. After reading this far, it would be a bold reader who would say one or the other was correct. There is, however, a criterion of correctness for the modern New Zealand Constitution Mason, and that is how the word appears in our book of Constitution and Ritual, as it is always appears as compasses, then as far as our working is concerned, compasses is the correct form. Published from the Proceedings of the Waikato Lodge of Research, number 445, AFNAM, New Zealand. Now comes the part in the show when I ask you to support the show. There are three main ways you can support this show. The first is through our application, which is available on Windows phones, Android phones, or Apple devices, whatever you've got going on there. If it's an iPhone or an iPad, we have the apps, and what those allow you to do is to download the show so you can keep it on your device and not have to stream it later. For instance, if you're on an airplane, you're in airplane mode, you'll have the episodes if you download them prior. The main benefit, however, is the fact that you get the papers we read as well as a Masonic wallpaper for each episode. Sometimes there's even more content, like a video or something like that, if it's relating to the episode in some way. The second way you can help us out is if you do some shopping. You can go to freemasonryart.com and check out any number of the amazing products Brother Juan Sepulveda has. If you use the checkout code WCY at the checkout, you'll get 10% off, and Brother Juan Sepulveda sends a little bit back this way to help keep our show on the internet. And additionally, you can check out onnit.com and check out any number of healthy living supplements and workout equipment. If any of that suits you, check out using the same code WCY. You'll get 10% off again, and a little bit comes back to the show, as the same with freemasonryart.com. And the third way is through a direct PayPal donation. You pick the amount, whether it's $1 or $2, it doesn't matter, whatever it is, you can send us that to the PayPal, and it goes right back into this show. So we don't use it for anything else other than production of this show. That covers hosting costs, equipment, and anything else we need to bring this program to you. And I do need to send out a special thanks to Brother Quisenberry, Brother Harrison, and Brother Leakum for their constant support. I have something special that's coming for you guys very soon, and I hope you enjoy it. On to the famous Freemason of the week. So this week's famous Freemason was somebody that I had never heard of, and I like to get guys on that were entertainers or embellish the word famous, as in entertainment possibly. And I had never heard of this gentleman. His name is Robert Allen Monkhouse, or Bob Monkhouse. He was born on June 1st of 1928, and he passed away in 2003, just after Christmas. He was an English entertainer, was a successful comedy writer, a comedian, and actor, and was also well-known on television as a presenter and a game show host. Monkhouse's adult career began as a scriptwriter for radio comedy in a partnership with Dennis Goodwin, with whom he also performed on the radio with. Aside from performing as a double act, Monkhouse and Goodwin wrote for comedians such as Arthur Askey, Jimmy Edwards, Ted Ray, and Max Miller. In addition, they were also gag writers for the American comedians, including Bob Hope, when they wanted jokes for British tours. Indeed, when Goodwin broke up his partnership in 1962, it was to go and work for Bob Hope. In 1956, Monkhouse was the host of Do You Trust Your Wife?, the British version of an American game show. He went on to host more than 30 different quiz shows on British television. His public profile growing, Monkhouse also began appearing in comedy films, including the first of the Carry On film series, Carry On, Sergeant, in 1958. He appeared in Dentist in the Chair and later regretted not choosing the Carry Ons over the dental comedies. Other presenting jobs in the 1960s included hosting Candid Camera and comparing Sunday Night at the London Palladium. Around 1969, he was a partner with Malcolm Mitchell in the Mitchell Monkhouse Agency. In 1979, he starred in a sketch comedy television series called Bonkers with the Hudson Brothers, a job he hated. In the early 1970s, he appeared on BBC radio in Mostly Monkhouse with Josephine Tucson and David Jason. He was a respected stand-up comedian as well. He was well known for his talent at ad-libbing. He became a much in-demand after-dinner speaker and wrote a book about the subject, Just Say a Few Words, and that was published in 1988, and it looks like redone in 1999. Monkhouse was married two times, and for most of his career, he jotted down his jokes, odd facts, one-liners, sketches, and ideas in a series of ring binders which he took with him everywhere. In July of 1995, they were stolen, and Monkhouse offered a £15,000 reward. They were returned after 18 months, but the thief, although arrested, was never charged. At Monkhouse's death, the books were bequeathed to Colin Edmonds. On the 12th of June, 2007, Monkhouse posthumously appeared on British TV in an advertisement promoting awareness of prostate cancer for Mayo Cancer Awareness Week. Using computer animation techniques, Monkhouse was seen in a graveyard next to his own grave, though in reality he was cremated, and he was talking about the disease seriously, interspaced with humorous asides to another camera. Quote, "What killed me kills one man per hour in Britain. That's even more than my wife's cooking." End quote. He ended by saying, "As a comedian, I've died many deaths. Prostate cancer, I don't recommend. I'd have paid good money to stay out of here. What's it worth to you?" Before walking away from his grave and disappearing, the advertisement was made with the support of Monkhouse's estate and supported by poster campaigns, including award-winning panels displayed in London Underground trains. Money raised went to the Prostate Cancer Research Foundation. That's it for this week. Please find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at WentzCamu. You can email me anytime at wcypodcast@gmail.com. And please don't forget to check out the Midnight Freemasons at www.wcypodcast.com. midnightfreemasons.org. Check out the Masonic Podcast Network. Don't forget about the Masonic Roundtable on Tuesday nights, 10-9 Central, and the Masonic Radio Theater, which will be probably a monthly show. And before we leave you, I'd like you to all check out Brother Brian Ebichin's new website, fellowcrafted.com, where you can find the coolest pens turned by hand by a brother. And it was formerly known as Pocono Pens. He's moved on. He has a really cool new website where you can go there, you can buy a pen. You have to allow just a little bit of time to let that pen be made, because when he gets the order, that's when he starts working on it. It's not like he has a bunch of these just sitting in drawers. I've been in his workshop. All I can say is, holy cow, the guy's got pieces of wood from all around the world. He's got pieces of wood from ancient Chinese dynasties. I mean, he's got serious stuff. So if you want a custom pen done, if you've got wood that you want made into a pen, whatever it is, you got to get in touch with Brian Ebichin. His website, again, is fellowcrafted.com. Check it out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay on the level. For whence came you? I'm Robert Johnson.